Blog Talk Radio.
Fuck you. Blue
shirt on the ground. Motherfucker!
This is an unlawful gathering. This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Rangeum fans report the critical thinking hangar. Rangeum fans report the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Today is Wednesday, June 5th. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day here in Philadelphia, although the streets of Boston it was. Anthony! I am doing great. I am psyched. I am ready for what I don't know. But as long as we talk Ranger hockey, that's all I care about. I don't care about baseball. I don't care about football. I don't care about basketball. It's all about the New York Rangers on this program, my friend Jim.
And food.
Just to share with you, I have been watching, I DVR'd two episodes of Battle of the Network Stars with our friend Howard Cosell doing them, and I have been having a private laugh fest watching this.
Telly Savalas.
Oh,
Gabe Cotter.
Ed Asner and CBS are dead. Just going nuts. Great.
Eric Estrada in the lead coming down. How did he ever agree to do to those things? So beneath me, I can't even begin to articulate that.
Now, he did it for the women. There's a couple things, and we'll get to the Rangers stuff in a second, where he is just like, I mean, just falling over himself over this Erin Gray chick who was in Buck Rogers. You remember her?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He goes, look at that live body of Erin Gray. I'll upload the clip for next week's show. The live, supple body of one Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th.
Look at the fantastic set of hooters on her.
Look at Adrian Barbeau with those bazooms. Anyway,
Suzanne Summers wins by a nipple. Ladies and gentlemen.
I have to say, New York Ranger fan of the jerseys remembers when Conrad, what did I say? Bobby Conrad wins the tug of war. You're right. You got a good memory.
I think that clip is actually on YouTube. Before we get going, I have big news, show-related big news.
Really? Do your thing.
Our good friend Ryan, fiance, they're getting married next year. As everyone knows, he had a medical procedure last week. He is home, convalescing, and listening to the show. So good evening, Aaron and Ryan.
Fantastic. Yes, glad that you're feeling better, man.
Yes.
Now you can listen to this show, live or on podcast, via iTunes or Zoom.
Are we still on Zoom? I don't even know.
What?
I don't even know if we're still on Microsoft Zoom, because I don't own one any. I think I was like the last one to get rid of their Zoom.
Oh. Well,
I just put us on there because I had one.
Right, and I just was repeating what you were saying. So, a lot of news in Rangerland. And, you know, you may say, first of all, I would like to start with this, Jim. And this concerns the Facebook page, and this actually just concerns everybody listening to us. I don't want to talk about John Tortorella anymore. I'm done. I'm completely want to erase him from my mind. I am looking forward. I'm not going to look backwards. I'm not going to post any pictures of Fonzie or, even the Tortsy goodbye. I'm ready to put that to rest.
Because Jesus Christ, how much time do we have to talk about it?
Because frankly, John, I need to forget you. Made my hockey life joyless. You brought me nothing but pain and heartache and agita.
So Gina said you're going to wash that man right out of your hair.
Yeah. We just got to forget about him. We'll use him as a reference when we're talking about when the new coach is in place. We just got to lay off. We're a new team. Well, we're not really a new team, but we will be when they decide to name a coach.
We hope.
I don't think they've actually interviewed anybody yet. For sure.
He wants to have somebody in place by the draft. That's only in 25 days. That's plenty of time to interview, vet. That's plenty of time to do a thorough search for a coach.
I think that they will not have a coach by then. And I don't think the coach plays a role. I mean, from what we've heard in the past, the coach is consulted. It is an organizational decision, quote unquote. But basically, it's Gordy Clark's baby. You know, and let's face it, we don't have a multitude of draft picks this year.
Right.
So now, I did want to ask you and the chat room, since you are much more knowledgeable on the nuts and bolts of what goes on, about the Ryan Clough deal. Now, if we don't sign him, do we get a draft pick? What happens? They're all gone because we made the playoffs. I don't know. I need to be settled on the draft. What are we drafting?
We'll have to go to the chat room on the trade because I don't remember. I seem to think that the pick is conditional on them re-signing him. I don't remember. I don't know. They've got like a pick and a half left. The second pick they have to pick like an amputee. They can't even pick an entire player.
Stephen Nola, who is a Facebook contributor, and thank God he's here because Stephen has told us we keep our second and lose a fifth with Clough if unsigned. I don't still get this. We keep our second and lose a fifth if unsigned.
Here we go. The New York Rangers sent this year's second round pick and Florida's third round pick to the San Jose Sharks in exchange for Ryan Clough. The Rangers also sent a conditional pick to the Sharks if the Rangers win two playoff series. Or re-sign Clough.
Okay.
Sharks get the Rangers' second-round pick in 2014. If neither of those things happen, the Sharks get the Rangers' fifth-round pick in 2014. Who put together this trade? Rubik?
I mean...
The most ridiculous trade. If the moon is in Venus and Venus is in Sagittarius, then the Sharks will get the Rangers' eighth-round pick when they expand to eight rounds in 2019. Unless it's a Tuesday.
Florida gets thrown in this mix, too.
because we got Florida's third round pick for John Van Beesbrook in the 1994 expansion draft or whatever the fuck it was.
Wow. Unbelievable.
The
I want to thank
ridiculous. Have you ever seen a trade so convoluted?
A guy who stinks. Well, maybe he doesn't stink, but it's a guy that I really don't want to keep around. I don't know where you are online.
It's just like something Cutter would put together.
Hey, you see Cutter's new Facebook pic? He's looking good.
He's looking snazzy, isn't he? He's got that new job. We're proud of Cutsy.
Hey, Cutsy's rocking it, man. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. It's a big time. We're a big time sensation, Jim.
We are. We're a hit. And, you know, you mentioned I learned something today that I had never known. I never knew this before in my entire life. Did you know that in 1968, the Philadelphia Flyers played a home game at Madison Square Garden?
Never knew that.
I never knew that either until today. And that is verified information on hockeyreference.com. On March 1st at the Old Spectrum, the Old Spectrum, they were having the ice capades. And the roof blew off, or part of the roof blew off, and the Flyers played at the Garden the following night against the Rangers, and then stayed there and played a home game at Madison Square Garden against the Oakland Seals.
Wow.
And then went up, and Cutter's got it right. They then went and played in Quebec's in Le Colisée, because that's where their minor league team played.
Unbelievable. Did not know that.
I didn't know it either.
Probably, Oakland probably didn't travel that much this way, so they had to get into the, they had to get that game in.
Right.
So, wow, I wonder how many Flyer fans showed up for that one. Or how many Ranger fans showed up to boo the Flyers.
Yeah, really.
They root for Oakland. The Oakland Steelers, wow. I never knew that. I got to say, that one got by me.
Yeah, I never knew that.
3 years old. I was only 3 years old at the time, so you can't blame me.
And you had the virus.
I had the virus at that point. All right, so I got to tell you, Jim.
Here it comes.
I'm having some sleepless nights over here.
Yeah, you'll be both, and I think it's the same reason.
Well, it's two reasons. I think it's what happened in Game of Thrones. And the name that I'm hearing a lot of when it comes to new Rangers coaching candidates.
Yeah, but this is where the nincompoopery of this fan base shines through. There is not one legitimate reason why anyone can give me why Mark Messier should be the head coach of the New York Rangers. Not one. Not one. 1994 doesn't count. He's not a savior as a head coach because he has no experience as a head coach. You don't.
Oh yeah.
And I got news for you. If I was going to pick a guy from the 1994 team to coach the Rangers, he wouldn't be my first choice anyway.
I know your choice.
Doug Who would Lister. My choice be?
Doug Lidster.
No.
Eddie Olczyk.
No.
Adam Graves.
Of course. Of course. There is nothing that tells me that Mark Messier is the right guy to coach this team. Nothing. And the fact that I'm hearing it so much in the press worries me.
Because if he wants it, he's going to get it. You would think Saylor is not going to say gonna say no to him. If he wants it, he's at every game, Jim, especially in the playoffs. I see him three times outside the Garden rushing out in his SUV. He's always there. If he doesn't, Uncle Slats is so loyal. And sometimes in good ways. But I got a really bad feeling that what they're going to do is they're going to try to get Messier, they're going to hire Messier and put two assistant coaches who kind of know what they're doing to kind of prop him up till he learns on the job. I really do. And I'm really worried about that.
Because now, that's Ricky, just what you want to do when you have a goaltender who is maybe has 2 to 3 years left of his true prime and a premier goal scorer. This is all. I'm telling you. I'm scared. I'm terrified.
No, and rightly so. We all should be terrified. And the quasi-reliable source of the Boucher on the ground. Listen, we don't have many sources, let's face it. Or sources, as I call them.
Sources
but
we got.
Sources we got. We've got sources. Tomato sauce, we got gravy, we got it all. But Ricky Otazu, one of the guys in he knows in the garden, said that Joey Mullen and Nick Fatiu were being interviewed for the assistant coach job. Okay, so now, listen, Ricky's been right on some things. Let's just presume he's right on this. Okay, his source is right. Wouldn't you think that interviewing assistants before you have even named your head coach would tend to sway that maybe Messier is coming in and they're going to give him two assistant coaches rather than a coach coming in here and bringing his own staff? I mean, that's the way I would think if that's the case. That's so. And then you have compounded. I read today, or was it yesterday, that Gretzky is interested in the job, but he doesn't think he's going to get it. I mean, you would think Glenn Saylor would say to Gretzky, yes, in a second, if he has such an affinity and loyalty towards ex-players and people that he knows. And remember, Gretzky was at that playoff, was at one of the Ranger playoff games this year.
Yeah.
So, and I think most of us would take, if we had to, take Gretzky over Messier. So, I don't know. I'm all confuzzled. I hope none of these clowns, I hate to call Messier Gretzky clowns, because they're certainly great, but I don't want him coaching my hockey team with all this young talent and all this, you know, the Rangers are not, well, I'll get into this in a second, but, you know, I don't, again, the window for Lundqvist is so small now, or it's getting smaller. I don't want coaches learning on the job or guys that have failed in other places. I mean, I love Gretzky. I mean, you're probably more familiar with the roster he had in Phoenix at the time when he was coaching, but I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about all this?
They can't hire Messier as the head coach. They just can't. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. Because this guy won a cup 20 years ago? Because he hangs around the garden? Because he's the assistant to the GM? He's a figurehead. That's all he is. He's a prop. He's just as much a prop as the GM is.
Yes.
I can't. I don't see it. Gretzky, okay. He's got a little experience. Those Phoenix teams were not good. I see Gretzky as a more being a better. I don't see a coach in Mark Messier. I just don't. Gretzky, this is such a bad idea. Both of them are bad ideas. It's two kids fighting for daddy's attention. That's what it is. Both of them fighting for daddy's attention. And I'm sorry, but Mark Messier, if he wanted this job, he should have spoken to Uncle Magoo privately and kept it private instead of making sure it got leaked everywhere. Because now, like, who was it? Bobby Holik did an interview with Andrew Gross the other day. You know, I know we don't have to, we don't all have fond memories of Bobby Holik, but he made a great point. He said Messier has now painted Glenn Sather into a corner on this. Because now Glenn Sather is going to have to say, he's either going to have to give him the job, or he's going to have to get up there and say, Mark Messier is not qualified for this job. There's no way to win now. He's painted him into a corner. Hire James Patrick.
You've done it again.
In this case, it's old Messier, you've done it again. Locutus of Borg, as I call him. With his bald, chiseled head, he used to wear that headset like the one I'm wearing right now when they used to interview him in between periods, and he looked like a Borg.
Oh, Mark. I think if they make Messier the coach, I think it lets the rest of the league basically know we're not serious about anything.
Right. Doesn't he cast enough shadow over this organization still, 2 years later, 20 years later, excuse me, still?
Yep.
Christ, his picture is everywhere. Any Ranger fan under the age of 25 thinks he was the first Ranger.
And listen, let me just go on the record saying is I love what Mark Messier did for the Rangers in 1994. I will eternally be grateful. I am not really that happy with Mark Messier post 94. Him leaving to go to the Canucks, I have a big problem with. Plus, his public relations skills since then haven't been all that great. But with that said, and this was brought up on actually WFAN for about 3 seconds, if he fails here, Eddie Limo Layton is back.
Yeah, got our levels back.
I knew something was. If he fails here, does it tarnish his rep, his 94 rep? I mean, do we say, oh, this is like, you know, and then Sather has to fire him, which he's going to have to do eventually. You know, at some point he's got to say, it's not working out here, Mark. He's going to leave, and does that tarnish the, does that turn out? William Tuff makes a good point. If he fails, Sather is gone. I don't know. Sather is the GM for life.
Dear leader, like Costa said.
Speaking of Costa.
Uh-oh.
I had lunch with Costa last week.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm coming
up with... I'm jealous of both of you.
Let's just say it wasn't uneventful. But I think I should come up with like a series of books, like Lunch with Costa. Like Dinner with whatever that was, guy. Whatever that book
Tuesdays
was.
With Maury.
Yeah, Tuesdays with Marty. This is Buffalo Wild Wings with Costa. So, I'm talking to Costa, and Costa brought up a good point. Dolan likes trophy... Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Dolan likes trophy GMs, that's why he got Sather. And he'll probably like trophy coaches, like Messier. And he brought up that he hired Isaiah, and if Isaiah didn't get into that sex scandal, Isaiah probably would be still there.
He tried to bring Isaiah back not too long ago.
Yeah.
As a consultant or something.
So, out of the mouth of boobs comes this gem. So, I'm talking to Costa. Let me just wrap it up with the Costa whole thing. He tells me his parents are leaving to go to Greece. On June 10th. So, what do you got planned? And you know what he says? Naked time.
Wow.
That's imagery you never want to have in your head.
You can't unsee that.
You can't unsee that. Naked time!
Oh, wow. Good night, everybody!
Right. Good night! So... further has me up at night thinking that Messier is going to be this coach. Because it all falls together in this incompetency of the trickle-down effect from president, I mean, from owner, president, GM, skate sharpener, to we're going to pick this Fakakta coach, Messier.
Yeah, it's a concerto, it's a symphony of nincompoopery is what it is.
So,
I really dig
now
the
that we
tune we've got.
Yeah, I got
Shanty
some
town.
More of this stuff like this.
Do, do.
So, and I think Ranger fan 80 brings up a good point. You think they're gonna get assign Henrik to an extension with Messier as coach? It depends. It depends how good Messier does it.
So are
now,
we just going to, if they hire Messier, is it just going to be a full slate of 1994 guys? Is Eddie Olczyk going to coach the power play? And Esa Tiikkanen will be the new trainer. And Doug Lidster will be the defensive coach. And we'll get Glenn Anderson to be like, what could he do? What could he do? Skate, he can sharpen the skates, right?
He'll do anything. But my problem with this is, well, I think everybody's problem with this is, it's really, we're not going to be taken seriously, and we really shouldn't be. Now, before I get into the other coaches' things, I wanted to bring this up to you. The Bruins are running roughshod over the Penguins.
Loving it.
Now, I think we gave the Bruins a pretty tough time for having Shitbag as a coach. Maybe the Rangers were a little bit better than we thought they were. I mean, you know, they won a couple overtime, what, three overtime games in the Rangers series? We lost two and we won one, and a lot of the games were one-goal games going into the third period.
I was starting to think, tied it.
See, I spoke too soon. The only thing is, then I was saying to myself, you know what? We really weren't because Boston was really playing with a lot of guys on the defense that they didn't have at the time. So, you know, they're starting to get healthy on the back line and now they're, you know, a juggernaut. But it's tied now. What's the score?
1-1.
1-1. So, I've been a little bit puzzled, bewildered, bemused at the other candidates and where Ranger fans are ranking them. A lot of people are no to Lindy Ruff, and I don't know where it comes from. Does it come from really, you know, him not having much playoff success and him looking like Hulk Hogan? I mean, where does it come from?
I always thought he looked more like Martin Mull.
He does, the facial hair department, definitely.
Some people, well, like Ranger Fan 80, some people think he's too similar to Torts.
You see that? I don't see him as a hothead.
I don't either. Well, I think in style, not so much in personality style, but hockey style. You know what I think my biggest problem with Ruff might be? How long did he coach the Sabres? 17 years? 18? No. 16 seasons? No. 17 seasons?
I don't think that long. Maybe.
13? I don't know. 13, 14,
we don't do any
years?
Research on this show, so the chat room is basically our...
Research is very overrated. It was a long time. I mean, it was plus 10. Okay, Cutter's saying 15 plus years. As much as I hate to admit it, he's usually right, at least with stats. That's a long time with one organization, and then just to come right back, you know, without taking a sabbatical, 16 years. There you go. Cutter had it. He took over in 97. I don't know. Guy might be a little burnt out, no?
Well, they had an interesting situation over there in Buffalo. I mean, you know, after the cap and even before that, they were financially strained. They were limited in what they could do. And then they got an owner who had tons of cash to invest and basically broke the bank to sign outrageous contracts, free agent got not out, yeah, just not prudent contracts. One, the Christian Ehrhoff, which I think was ridiculous. Tyler Myers got some wacky deal, and he's certainly not turned into the defenseman that he was supposed to be. I mean, he was a top pick in the draft, at least a top three pick. I don't know where he went in that draft. And you had guys like Ville Leino, who they signed, and they thought they were going to, and it didn't work out. When they got the money, they couldn't figure it out. Plus, Ryan Miller hasn't been all that great the last couple of years. Yeah, he needed to go. I would be interested to see what he could do with a team that's got a fairly good core. I mean, I think if the players are used right, the Rangers certainly are, I think, a good team. I know, I think they're... excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. Do I think they're an echelon team or the cup contender? No, but if you can get the defense back on track to where it was 2 years ago, and you have the world's best goalie, and you've got a first and second line, if we can somehow create a third and fourth line, the Rangers could be something. So it may not take all that much to get where they need to be, especially if they could find somebody that can solve the power play problem. So I don't say Lindy Ruff is if they get him, fine. He's not my number one guy, but I see a lot of no Ruff. Maybe because he didn't really have much playoff success in Buffalo in 16 years. So, I mean, I guess that's a good enough reason.
But they did have some playoffs. I mean, he didn't win a cup, but they did have – he's had more – since he took over the Buffalo job, he had more success with Buffalo than the Rangers have had.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at what CCC says. Side strike, 7 years, $56 million. He's 35. He could be playing for us at 42. Sorry.
Yeah.
He certainly had more successful. You're right. He had more success in Buffalo than the Rangers have had since David's been here.
Here, we'll go through it real quick. 97-98 lost conference finals. 98-99 lost the cup finals. 99-2000 they were out in the first round. 2000-2001. Out in the second round. 3 years, no playoffs. 05, 06, 06, 07, made it to the conference finals both years. 2 years, no playoffs. Then 2 years out in the first round. Then 2 years, no playoffs. You know what? I trade that. Let me look back at that 16 years instead of missed the playoffs 12 times out of 16, lost in the first round to Washington, blew a third. 3-1 lead to Washington. It's not bad. Obviously, the ultimate goal is to win a cup, but, you know, at least it's nice to go to the dance every year, too.
And then
I think they could do a lot worse than Lindy Ruff. He's not my first choice, but.
Well, I'm hot. Well, hot. I'm hot on Alain Vigneault. Now, Vigneault, I know a lot of people say, he's a choke artist. Dean's Neville, he's choke. And you know what? I want the opportunity to choke. Let's get in the Stanley Cup and choke it out. I'll take that. That's how bad I want to be back. Plus, we don't got Chris Luongo. Roberto Luongo. Chris Luongo.
We don't have either one of those guys.
Yeah, Roberto, Chris Luongo. But I can't really. Ooh, we're stuck with Christian Ehrhoff. And Hank is much better than Luongo. Come on, it's no comparison.
then other people are like, well, he had the Sedin sisters, so he doesn't have that kind of player here.
What do you need those guys for? Who are they, the Sedin brothers? One guy's 10 goals, 80 assists. The other guy's all goals and no assists. We got that. We got Derek Stepan. We got Rash. We got offensive players. Guys won everywhere he's go. 40 wins, 50 wins, 50 wins. This is what I want. And he's in touch with today's hockey. The problem with Ruff, I think, might be he might not be in touch. Messier is certainly not in touch.
And you know, I think it's funny that the knock on Ruff and the knock on Vigneault are, well, they never won a cup. Well, if they won a cup, they might not be available for a job. You know, it's not like the unemployment line is full of guys that have won the Stanley Cup.
The last asshole we had won a cup, and he sucked.
Right.
We played in our own zone for freaking 50 minutes a night.
5 years.
I don't know if you won a cup.
I know you won a cup.
But the power play still sucks. Sorry. Maybe he'll win a cup with the Rangers. How about that? Your first cup's with the Rangers.
I don't believe the last coach to lead the Rangers to a Stanley Cup had won a cup before he arrived in New York either.
Oh, very good, Jim. Very good.
Thank you. He'd had a few runs. Well, I think he had one with Philly and one with Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, to the finals, but didn't win. So, they'd won, you know.
I think anybody who can win 50 games in this league certainly knows what they're doing consistently. And he's won in two different places, Dallas and in Vancouver. So bring him in here. I mean, the Rangers are a decent team. They really are. And if they could just have somebody who knows what they're doing, they could be that much better. And a coach that's I don't want to get all hippie-ish on everybody, but that nurtures these young guys instead of telling them they stink in press conferences. He's at Bruce Boudreaux. He's terrible. How could you say that? He wins a lot of games. You know who's terrible? Brian Trotche. He's terrible.
Here, let me just get, okay. Daryl Sutter won the cup last year. He's still employed. Claude Julien won the cup the year before. He's still employed. Joel Quenneville won the cup the year before. He's still employed. Dan Bylsma, he's still employed. Mike Babcock, he's still employed. Randy Carlyle, is he still coaching? Did he get fired? Is he up in Toronto now? I forget now.
Who?
Randy Carlyle. Is he coaching? Is he in the league?
Yeah,
still?
He coaches Toronto.
That's what I thought.
Games.
Okay.
That's what, right.
So before him was LaViolette. You know, he's employed. Before him, I believe we're familiar with the name. Before him, Pat Burns. You ain't getting Pat Burns back.
No. Him and Roger Nielsen are having the Winter Classic in Terminal Dreamland this year.
So to find a Stanley Cup winning coach who is not working and not dead, you have to go all the way back to Scotty Bowman in 2002. Scotty Bowman was Neil Smith's first choice for coach, and instead he had to take Roger Nielsen.
Jeez.
Think our history might be a little different?
Could be a little bit. A little bit.
So the point I'm trying to make is, like I said before, the unemployment line isn't littered with guys with Stanley Cup rings. There's one.
Really, I got to tell you, Cutter and Costa, cut it out. I want to have Jim Vanier.
because frankly, in the chat room, there cannot be any Toronto Maple Leafs talk. Tyler Bozak might not get re-signed, please.
Wow.
Anyway.
It's a fun conversation.
Those two. Taking them to Buffalo Wild Wings and reserve a seat for them both. So anyway, so then we have in the mix as well is the great Dallas Eakins. He seems to be the sexy choice. Now, I defy any Ranger fan to tell me anything about Dallas Eakins that doesn't concern the 1996 playoffs. I watched one Toronto Marley game this year during the lockout. I know he's well sought after, but I have no idea what coaching style he has. I hear things, it's up-tempo, he's good with the young players, but then I hear that he had a falling out with Kadri publicly. I don't know what I'm hearing. All of this, I think, is just he's the young guy, he's the up-and-comer. What do you think about him?
I think I said it a week ago that I don't know anything about him. Besides his brief, very brief time with the Rangers, I don't know anything about him. And I have no idea what kind of style. He's just in every sport, the young guy is always the sexy. At one time, it was Eric Mangini. Look how that
right.
worked out, you know?
No, it's like, Ray Hanley.
Oh, good night, everybody. I'm done.
Or Jim Fossil.
At least Jim Fossil accomplished something. Justin said it. No mention of that name ever.
Well, you want to take a stab at my Jetsies, and then when I scud you back with a couple of your rare bombs.
Well, Mangini had, what, two decent seasons with the Jets before it all went bad? Was it decent? You're all right for two seasons. He was a squealer. That's my only problem with Mangini.
Well, I don't like that he got a nickname after doing really nothing.
Mangini Pompacero.
All right. Let's get back to Doctor. So I think Dallas Eakins, you're right.
Cutsy just hit you hard. Al Groh. Well played, Cutsy.
That was your boy Parcells doing. But, sir, what was I going with this? So he's like the sexy offensive coordinator, this guy could be the new hot property. So I don't know too much about it. Then you got Guy Boucher, people. That guy scares me, just facially.
He looks like a Bond villain.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. And he hasn't had too much success, has he? What's his...
Similar style, too, to the Rangers. Or to Tortorella, I should say. Dinosaur.
So I really... those are really, I think, the only serious candidates. If they can, other than Tippett, who they can't negotiate with at this point.
Well, they have to work out a deal. That can always be.
But they are close. Magoo and Don Maloney are no strangers to each other.
Right.
So those are the guys that are running. I'd take Tippett over Vigneault if they can get him. That's who I want. Tippett, Vigneault, I'll take Eakins over Ruff because you might be right. Ruff might be stale. Then I'm going to Ruff. Then after that, forget it. At least, I guess it's Pierre Maguire.
I think Tippett is... guys with head coaching experience, if they're going to go hire somebody who has been a head coach in the NHL, Tippett is probably my first choice. well, he wouldn't be my first choice, but of guys that would be available, he would be my first choice. If they were going to hire a hot young assistant, then my first choice would be former guest of the show, James Patrick.
Yeah, he would help the power play, I would imagine.
I just think he'd be a good coach. I think from talking to us, the guy's got a pretty intelligent guy. I mean, I'm not name dropping. He was on the show. Well, what would you want me to call him? Mr. X? Coach X? He's name dropping. He was on the show. It's not like I said, oh, I was out to dinner the other night with Phil Esposito and Gordie Howe, and then Ted Lindsay showed up and picked up the check, and he was on the show. Got to drop his name. He was here. Anyway.
And he seems like he would have a really good demeanor. But then again, he might be. Listen, I love you. Maybe he's rusty, too. He's part of that whole rough thing. He wound up getting fired at the end of this season, Patrick.
Yeah, but there's less. He's younger, first of all. He wasn't there as long. And there's a lot less pressure on the assistants.
By the way, Catherine Tappan will be on this show next week. You know who she is?
No, how come I don't know who that is? I'll Google her.
Okay, you're Google. That's right, Catherine Tappan will be here. Discussing with me.
Oh, I know who that is. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen her. I just don't. Yeah, okay. Oh. Is she coming on?
Yeah. Facebook messaged her. Everything. No, she's not coming on this show. I'll try to get her now that I brought it up. The reaction in the chat room was like, my God.
I'm already unzipped over here. I mean, come on. Now you tell me she's not coming on? I'm in my underpants over here.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it was going to go that far. I thought we were responsible new media journalists.
Since when?
I don't know. It says it in the opening theme, new media and all that.
Yeah.
I thought it to be true. Gee. Mention a girl in this chat room. You think it's like seventh grade homeroom.
Exactly. We're like sailors on leave.
Yeah, really.
A woman.
I've seen you guys in person. You couldn't get a Captain Tappan.
Hey.
I was just about to say, unless you got the personality of a Jim Schmiedeberg, personality of a Mr. French. Who else have I seen live? Not too many of the others here in the chat room. Howie Sussman hasn't made anything. I can't make an assessment on Howie Sussman yet. I know Captain Moose Knuckle could probably take her. But anyway. I digress. Do we have any phone calls, my friend James?
We have a few. Do we really want to talk to people? I'm just kidding.
Well, there's plenty of things to talk about.
Hold on a second. Because, you know, we never... I know you don't want to talk about it anymore, so we're not going to actually talk about it. But we never did play this last week. We could make a great version of this. We could have made a great version of this song. Ding dong, torches fired, someone new will be hired. Ding dong, the power play won't suck. I mean, think about it. You're right. You know, we won't suck. They'll shoot the puck. There's so many things we've done.
No, I certainly think we could have really worked that one pretty good. But we're trying to move on. Trying to get over this bad relationship we have with Torts. And he hasn't shown up anywhere, has he?
No. He's under. He's
commented. There was a little bit of scuttlebutt. There was a lot of
blowback from the media. You read that one guy's article? Holy cow.
Yeah, I saw a lot of... You know what? But none of them had any balls when they were in the room with him.
You got that right. You didn't want to get beat up. It's not like a lot of these writers are E-Man. A bunch of little nerds.
Yeah, he had words a few times with local beat writers. And, you know, I don't think they were, you know, a few of them weren't afraid to go back at him. But all these national writers, the ones that are all bashing him, none of them had the balls to go after him during the playoff. Big deal.
I mean, like this Dave Lozo. Did you read this?
Oh, the thing he posted on, on Tumblr or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did see that.
I'm not Tortorella asked him, he's about to ask a question. He called Torts a bully. The rules you had, don't ask about the other team, don't ask about injuries, don't ask about the lineup, don't ask about the individual players after a loss. And he said he was very inconsistent. Sometimes he would talk about other players, and he wouldn't.
Jesus Christ, how much time do we have to talk about it?
I think which is a hot topic I'd like to bring up a little bit later about Brian Boyle. He said it was the third or fourth question of the post-game press conference with Tortorella was clearly pissed off because you know, the media lost game two.
Right, I saw that.
How did Brian Boyle look out there? It's his first game back. He's been in a big part of the lineup all season. It's a question someone was going to ask, but for unsuspecting, unfortunate soul, it was him. I'm not answering that question from you. But it's basically, how he treated everybody. Even poor Sammy, which may have played in his demise.
It may have.
Yeah, I've read that. That did not go over well. The in-house media and the way he treated in-house people was not cool, man. Not cool. So,
if I thought Kenny Albert would answer the question, I'd love to have him back on and ask him that. But he wouldn't answer it.
We like Ken Albert, but he's part of the KGB over there. So now I noticed that Justin's here, and I know you're the king, well, maybe you and Phil Bogner, of the anti-Brian Boyle coalition. But I'm here to stick up for Brian Boyle. Yes.
Hodor.
Or Hodor, as we call him. Now, you can say what you will about Brian Boyle.
He had quite a scare on Sunday night, by the way.
What happened?
Poor Hodor.
Oh, yes. Lightning and all that.
Poor.
But Thunder.
Hodor.
No spoilers. Okay. So you got... Now, Brian Boyle, boys and girls and folks at home, we know that he's inept. During the regular season, he was horrible. He certainly was put in a position... to fail by John Tortorella. I mean by playing center on the third line. But with Brian Boyle, and I'll stand by it, I'll stick by it, I'll cling it till my dying day. Well, maybe not that long. Maybe till next Wednesday. But
Hodor.
I think Brian Boyle had a pretty decent playoff. And when it comes down to it, Dad Nabbit, isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, I'm not denying he had a good playoff. Hodor.
But really, isn't that what it's all about?
So is it okay if he only scores two goals all year, if he scores three in the first two rounds of the playoffs? Is that what you're saying? Those are reasonable expectations for that big lummox?
If he plays the fourth line.
But he doesn't. But he will be.
Oh, yeah. He will be, my friend.
Okay, all right.
Now, and this
lips, from your lips to mine.
He may be out of here. He may be playing playoffs for another team. Because now that the witch is dead, or the dick is dead.
Oh, my effing God.
This opens the door. And really, some of his fave raves, Tortorella, may not be playing at all. No less, they enjoyed an enhanced role. So I am curious to see who is going. Will we see Pizey ever again on the power play?
No.
And Pizey's another guy. I thought he had a decent playoff. It almost made up for his disastrous season. So, will a guy like Darryl Powell be employed with no goals and no assists? He thinks not. So, will guys like Matt Zuccarello be afforded more playing time? Will Chris Kreider enjoy more playing time? I mean, so a lot of roles will change. A lot of players, Chris Newberry may not be the new number one call-up, so he can take a freaking penalty. I mean, come on. Every time that guy has to be called up in his Ranger career and take a minor in the game. Dumbass.
At least he's consistent.
Yeah, consistently bad. So,
are you ready for phone calls?
So the whole dynamic's going to change whoever the new coach is, even if it's Mark Messier.
She's been on for an hour already.
I know.
All right. Justin, what's up?
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's up, Justin?
Not too much. Just hanging out. So you guys, the consensus is you guys want either Vigneault or Ruff or Tippett, and Eakins would be a good choice as well, from what I get, right?
Yes.
Okay. I sort of agree. I think Eakins would be the best choice for this team. He does well with the younger players. I think that would really help with a lot of the Kreiders and Millers and Fats and Lindbergs, et cetera, that are coming up. I think he'd do well. He likes to build from the goalie out. And he really, from what I understand, makes his players really stay in really good shape, which is obviously something Brad Richards could use, since he was pretty useless and dead after 30 seconds. But I don't know about Vigneault. Tippett would be a good choice if we can get our hands on him. I'd be willing to trade one of our fourth liners for him, honestly.
Who do you want to get rid of? Brian Mashinter?
Sure.
Ben Ferriero?
Yeah. Boyle, any of them. Boyle.
I just spent 5 minutes praising Boyle in his playoffs, and you want to get rid of him?
Well, sarcastically speaking, I mean, I think he can be a good fourth liner. I do. He can win faceoffs. He works well on the boards. He can be a good fourth line grinder. I mean, that's about what he's useful for. And if he's played, you know, the 10 minutes a game he should be played, then I think he can be useful. And he's not going to stand out, but he can be useful. I'm not so sure about it.
I'm starting now to actually not believe in my own what I just said 5 minutes ago. Maybe he needs to go.
I wouldn't lose any sleep if he went, believe me.
No, I know you've never been a big fan of his. I know that.
No, but you know what? He did show up for the playoffs, and that has to be said, you know, for...
he's a pretty good self-performer. So... Put it up on the refrigerator.
Yeah, exactly. Yay, Brian! Hold on.
We can't bring Messier in as coach. I love the guy, but come on. You can't bring a guy to this team with no experience, with your goalie not committing to signing beyond next year, and you just can't do that. I mean, the guy has no coaching experience. We don't know what he's going to bring to the table. What are you going to do? Leach is the power play coach, and Zubov, and maybe we can bring a few more of the guys on, you know?
Yeah, it could be worse than last year. No, but I know what you're saying. Yeah. But get ready.
We can put,
coming.
We can put Leach on the ice. We could put Leach on the ice. It wouldn't be as bad as last year.
But, you know what? I don't want Messi because he cries. What, is he going to cry all the time, too?
Here's the thing, all right, so we can't bring in Messier, and we can't bring in Gretzky either. And really, I think the problem with Gretzky is, you know, really, the reason he's not such a good coach is because of the player he was. I mean, he thought the game so differently than anyone else. He saw the game completely different. How do you translate that to people who don't see it the same way? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's happened in sports. Just because you're a great player doesn't mean you translate it to being a great coach. I mean,
especially when you think the game so differently, it's hard to translate to others, and that's what I think his problem is. So I don't think he would be a good choice at all. But the guys you listed, I think, would really be good choices. I mean, you know, some more so than others. I'd be thrilled to get Eakins. I wouldn't mind Vigneault. I'd be happy with Tippett and Ruff. I'm not really too high on, just because he seems to play almost the pretty much same style as Tortorella, and I'm not really digging that so much, as you know. But and like you guys mentioned earlier, it'd be a PR nightmare if we had to fire, you know, Messier from the as a head coach.
Exactly.
A nightmare. With all those things being said. But, you know, if we could get a guy who can really develop some of our young talent, and that's a knock on Vigneault, as they had, from what I hear in Vancouver, that he wasn't really good with some of the young players. And obviously, as we know, with all the guys we have waiting in the wings, it's not a great fit either. That's why I'm really a proponent of Eakins, and I think that he would probably be the best, in my opinion, anyway. So I don't know what your guys' thoughts on that would be. But,
Let me ask you in gymnast. I mean, you guys are from Arizona. What is Dave Tippett like? What does he bring?
He's a hell of a dancer.
I haven't seen too many Yotes games. I don't know about Jim, but
from
the games,
I stay up late watching the Yotes. He's a defensive-minded coach, but guys won.
He's definitely overachieved with that team. I mean, let's face it. Name me one top-level player on that team.
Keith Yandel.
Lauri Korpikoski.
Yeah, exactly. My point exactly. A defenseman and Korpikovsky. I mean, there's really no high-end talent on that team, and he's got them to perform relatively well. I mean, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, they lost to the Kings. So he's done good things there, but he is defensive-minded, from what I understand.
Yes.
And but who knows? I mean, he could do a good job. You know, maybe he'll adjust his style a little bit to fit the players, but we don't know that. You know.
Right. All right, Justin, we gotta go.
All right, catch you guys later. Hey, leave me on hold so I can listen.
Will do. This is your new theme
yes.
song, by the way.
Spoiler alert. Since Mr. Miola has mentioned it in the chat room, no more Well. The Wolfpack are back.
Yes. Well, that we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. But, you know.
Because we said the Connecticut Whale. Who gives a fuck?
Can't do my what's harpooning bit anymore.
Right. We're talking what's howling or whatever it was we were talking about.
What's barking up with the... I don't know. We'll have someone listen to Wolf.
All right, I don't know who this is. 347-869. You're on Bouchard Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Chandler. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Chandler, what's up?
Not much. How you been?
I swear to God, you always have a different phone number.
Yeah, well, I've been sick, so.
You all right?
Yeah, I've been laid up a little while.
Did you catch crabs from another hooker?
Jeez.
No.
Don't they warn you about those things in the military?
Yeah, but you get used to getting them, so you know.
Good. See, I knew I could say that to you, and you'd have a snappy comeback.
So you must be happy. You must be happy, ecstatic. I know you've been laid up, but still ecstatic that he's gone.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I didn't expect it, but it I'll tell you what, it didn't ruin my day. To know that he was gone. But I was listening to you guys, and it's a name I want to add to the list. Well, I'll give you my top three who I'd like to see next is Tippett, Patrick, and I really would like to see Doug Waite get a job, even if it's not with the Rangers. But I think Doug Waite is going to make a really good head coach for somebody.
I've seen his name mentioned a few times. He's been given a lot of credit for the resurgence of the Islanders.
Yeah, he's done a lot with, look at Kyle Okposo in particular. That kid, you know, for a couple of years, everyone was like, what the hell happened to him? And
right.
He's helped him become, you know, a power forward in every sense of the word. So I think he's had, and everywhere I've read, they've given him a lot of credit for just helping develop, getting the younger guys to kind of grow into their games. So, you know, it's weird, though, right now, because it's you know, and Jim, the Alain Vigneault thing, all I'll say for that is this guy turned Chris Higgins into a guy worth a $10 million extension with Vancouver. Okay?
That's a good point.
So for everybody talking about Alain Vigneault can't coach, he turned Chris Higgins into a second-line center, all right, who got a four-year, $10 million extension from Vancouver, okay, on top of the contract he already had. So, you know, the guy must know what the hell he's doing. If he can get, I mean, because Chris Higgins, we all know, Jesus, the guy, all he ever did was miss the damn net when he was here.
Right.
Oh, he was terrible.
So, and then he got there and he scored, what, 4 game winners in the playoffs last year or some shit? It was ridiculous.
Right.
Every time he turned around, he was scoring a game win. So, you know, I don't know what system Vigneault was running, but this shit's got to work. Maybe he can turn some of these guys here who can't hit the net and the guys who can actually hit the net. You know?
Yeah, basically, Chris Higgins was like, it was the end.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, I was like, basically, it was the end. Didn't he go, where did he go? He came from the Canadians. Did he go directly to Vancouver or he stopped somewhere else?
No, he went a couple of places. Florida, Calgary. Because, yeah, he left in a Calgary. He left in a trade for Olli Jokinen.
Right.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then went to
Dakota,
Florida.
Yeah. And then he went to Florida and then he wound up in Vancouver.
Right.
So,
well, he could do a reclamation project on that guy. That's, like you said, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and Lynn Ruff, I mean, I keep hearing people saying he's a defense. You know, this is the guy who those teams with Drury and Brazier, everybody said they didn't play any defense. All they did was outscore you, remember? So when did he suddenly become this you know, only defensive coach? This is a guy who has always adjusted to the roster that they gave him, you know? So I don't know where that's coming from. I mean, I don't want Lindy Ruff, not because I don't think he'd be a good coach, but because I'd rather see, you know, some of the guys I mentioned. But I don't think Lindy Ruff would be a bad choice as coach. I think he'd adjust to the roster that we have, which he's, I mean, 15 years in Buffalo was, figure what, 12 of them, they gave him no money to work with. And you look at the teams that he won with basically a goalie and two forwards, is really all he had.
I agree. Even though Lindy Ruff isn't one of your picks, I mean, you make a pretty good case for him. I wouldn't mind Ruff. I think we only can go up unless we get Messier or Gretzky. Then we're back to being a joke.
Yeah. Even though, you know, I mean, as we all know, those of us who suffered through a lot of years, you know, Cupless and then him and those guys won the cup, there's a soft spot in my heart saying if they gave it to him, I wouldn't be mad, you know, because of that. But I don't think he should be the coach of the New York Rangers, you know. As a PR move, it's great. You know, as tying the past to the present, it's great. But can we win with him? Probably not. I mean, you know, Gretzky was a pretty good player. He didn't do too well as a coach. I don't, you know, great players don't make great coaches, managers, or whatever. They really don't.
Nope.
Not typically.
And again, yes, it's a great PR move when you hire them. What happens when you got to tell them, you know what, Mets, it's just not working out. You know, you were 5-15, we're 5-20. How do you face that PR nightmare?
Exactly.
You know, if the Rangers are losing and not making any progress, it's going to become a joke. It's going to – initially, you're right. The papers, the Messiah's back. Messier predicts game 7. You know, they're going to have the prediction and the whole thing and the fanfare, and it's all going to be good until the puck drops.
And if
they start losing, it's going to become, look at this guy.
The only way you could bring Messi in is you have to give him assistant coaches like a Lindy Ruff, a Vigneault, and you know, you would have to give him three assistants with, you know, oogu gobs of experience as head coaches, and if that's the case, then you may as well hire one of them. You know?
I can see you hiring him, and if you got like a Larry Robinson as an assistant coach, like a guy that's, you know, because who knows? I mean, the game is changed so much, even from when Tortorella won, not even to when Messier played, but when Tortorella coached, the game is different now. I don't see how these guys can jump in. I mean, in the limited time, I mean, he's been GM of the Canada and the World Championships. I think he coached in the Spengler Cup or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's got no idea how X's and O's go nowadays. That's why I don't want him to be the coach.
No. It ends badly with Messi in New York. It ends badly is the problem. It's not how it's going to end badly. There's no way that can end well. There's just no way it can end well. You know, it ends badly, and then what do? Because you have one of your iconic players now. It's kind of like the Joe Namath thing with the Jets. He's going to be taking shots at the Jets in the paper. Old management guy's not talking to me anymore. It becomes a mess. You know, and who wants
same
that?
Thing
gotta,
with, you know. It's yeah. The same thing that happened with Yogi Berra with the Yankees.
Yeah, there you go.
He got fired. He got fired when he got fired mid-season by Steinbrenner.
22 games.
22 games. And what, he didn't talk to them, but didn't go to the
16 years or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who was a beloved Yankee, and it just doesn't make any sense. And you're right. Yeah. I like these guys. I'm not rooting against them, but let's just do something prudent, and let's not take two-step backwards. You know, let's bring somebody in here that knows what they're doing. Head coaching, winning pedigree. That's what I want.
Yeah, and the sad part is we got a lot of guys. Because if this was a straight-on tear-down rebuild, a guy like Eakins I think would be great. But this is not a rebuild. We're bringing in a coach, and that coach is coming in knowing that we're expecting to go to the conference finals. You know, you're not coming in here to rebuild the Rangers. You're coming in here to get us to the conference finals, if not the Stanley Cup finals. But we have to get to the conference finals next season. We have to get to the conference finals next season.
Coming in here for two reasons, to take us to the conference finals and choke the life out of Roman Hamrlich.
Hey, listen, the man was 800 years old. He hadn't played in 6 months. What did you expect?
800 years old.
You know, Roman Hamrlich was playing in the 70s, man, and then he doesn't play him for 2 months. And
he was a
Roman
senator.
Come on.
I was there when he got a point in the playoffs. He also threw the puck into the stands, too.
Yeah, well,
game
I think everybody did that in the playoffs. It was just these playoffs were it was brutal to watch. It really was. It was brutal to watch.
It was brutal. It was just like, you know what? I'm DVRing it and I'm fast forwarding it to the last 3 minutes because I don't want to go through the whole rigmarole of a one goal game. It was tough to watch, and I really said at the end of the season, I probably couldn't watch the games playing that way again.
No.
That score a goal and try to kill a penalty for 58 minutes. You know,
And then to find out how many guys are injured, how many guys are having surgery right now because of that style of play. I mean, people do realize that we're shortening these guys' careers with this style of play. Everybody says, oh, we're rolling the guys who block shots. Guess what? Don't hang on last 10 more years playing that style of play. He's not. Every offseason now he's having shoulder surgery. Every offseason he's having shoulder surgery. This is what, his second year in a row?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and it was Gaborik, you know, 2 years ago with the labrum, and now it's last offseason, and now this offseason it's Callahan and Hagelin, labrum surgery.
So it's, I don't know, but I mean.
And Michael Delzato is having surgery on his labia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Come on. Now, you know I'm a Delzato supporter. Here.
You have
to
reattach it.
I got to get finished here. All right?
All right, Chandler. Listen, we got to let you go, buddy.
All right, fellas.
All right. Good talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
We'll debate Delzato and his playoff performance another time.
And his female genitalia another time. All right, let's see. Catroni's just listening. 973-590. Is this Brett?
Yep.
What's going on?
Great Brett Anderson.
Yes. Former Baltimore Oriole, 50 home run hitter, Brett Anderson.
I wish I hit home runs. But anyway, I have... Well, how much time do we have?
You got 12 minutes.
Okay. I have just three quick topics I want to touch on. One of which I think we've already obviously discussed earlier in the show, and that I personally am a fan of Alain Vigneault. I like that... I mean, I forget who said it, but I think someone was complaining about how he's too defensive, and with that, I mean, you can't have a team in the top 10 goals in the NHL and be too defensive-minded at the same time, in my opinion. I mean, it's not like the Canucks had an elite team. Like, it's not like they had an overloaded team. They got pucks to the net. And that is what I think the Rangers need to do. They need to, I mean, they don't shoot the puck at a very low rate, but I think that just getting more pucks to the net will only help them. And just opening up the offense, I mean, I think we all know that'll help them. Because at the same time, if he isn't as strongly defensive-minded as, well, from what I had said earlier, like I said, someone had said he was too defensive-minded. In my opinion, he's very offensive-minded. Isn't that great on the defensive end? But like I said with that, we have Henrik Lundqvist, the best goalie in the NHL, in our end of the ice. So I don't see, like, and I think it was either one of you two said, you need to start taking risks in order to get rewards. That's my whole opinion on the coaching situation. I really like Elaine Vigneault, but after that, I would probably go after probably Eakins, just for the sheer fact that he's very good with young talent, and I would love to see players like JT Miller and McElrath and Kreider and whatnot develop into the players that they're supposed to be.
I think that's a fair assessment. I think on both coaches you mentioned, and Eakins, yes. The Rangers have developed, you know, I like some of the Ranger guys that are coming up. I mean, I don't think McElrath's going to make the team this year. He may see some playing time. But certainly JT Miller will be in the mix. Torts actually like JT Miller, but JT Miller, certainly the right tutelage. I like his confidence while he was up here. Christian Thomas is another guy. Might see some more ice time with a different coach. You got to be happy if you're in the minor leagues of the Rangers and you're offensive-minded, because I've always felt that John Tortorella was not going to bring those guys up, the Jana Riviks, the you know, whatever have you down there, even a guy like Jesper Fast. If they're going to play him, Tortorella would rather play, you know, the muckers, the grinders over those guys. So they're getting a new lease on life with this, whoever the new coach is.
Yeah, Tortorella would just bring up Chris Newberry again and take yet again another
no
three,
more
four.
Chris Newberry.
Lobster Newberry.
I'm not watching another Ranger game as long as Chris Newberry is a member of that organization. At any level. I don't care if he's with the ECHL affiliate. I don't care if he's in the QJMHL affiliate.
Even if he's playing for the Greenville Road Warriors, you won't accept it.
No, I want him out. He represents the old guard.
Okay. Everybody's with Boycott Newberry. It is the summer.
Yes, Boycott Newberry. That's all the things that are wrong with this team, and we pick on Chris Newberry. That's what's great. Take it all out on Newberry. All right, Brett, you got anything else?
Yeah, I actually have, two things, but they can both be combined into one.
All right.
Okay. Are we allowed to discuss free agency topics on the show?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
We'll okay. do anything on the show.
Number one, I think there was a post about this on Facebook page today, and I think a few days ago as well. Can I have your opinions on Mark Strait?
Too old.
Not. If they could sign him to a 2-year deal, I'd do it. But I think, isn't Keith Yandle out there as well?
So.
And I think Yandle is younger. I would probably go Yandle over Strait, but I think Mark Strait. Listen, I know we're all obsessed about our old players since we've been burned by them in the past, but. The first thing, I mean, Mark Strait is not the greatest defensively, but he sure knows how to operate a power play, and we sorely need that on the back line. So if it was a 2-year deal for, you know, not crazy money, I'd take it.
I have the same viewpoint as you. Like, we brought Brad Richards in here to help the power play. He did absolutely fucking nothing, and. If we bring Mark Strait in here for a very short-term deal, I sure as hell hope he can help this power play, because I really don't see the Rangers going anywhere in the future with this. I guess you can call it a penalty kill. Because
Yandle,
it's just not good.
Yandle's going to want too much money.
Yeah, I have the same opinion on Yandle.
He's already making 5.25.
Yeah. But another person that, and I don't think he's a he might be a free agent this year, but I think he might be restricted. How would you personally feel about bringing back Ruslan Fedotenko?
Been there, done it. I'm not a fan of going back. The only guy I think we should have went back was Prosper.
Well,
that guy still scores. But
the only good
trust...
thing about bringing Fedotenko back is if they don't buy out Brad Richards, I wouldn't have to watch Richards lose another face-off to him.
There you go.
Huh.
No, from what I saw of Fedotenko with the Flyers last year, it looks like it's going. You know, he's coming to the end of the line. I love the guy. I love cheeks. Come on, who doesn't like those rosy cheeks is? But,
And I've never seen a hockey player take more sticks to the face than Ruslan Fedotenko. Never.
This just in from Gina, who's all over it. Fedotenko was signed with the KHL.
Wow. And
hey, Gina,
1-1 Pittsburgh-Boston with 10 minutes left in the third period.
I was going to say, the chat room is more informed than the people doing the show.
Yeah, really. you know, as long as we're talking free agents, you know who I would really like to see the Rangers sign?
I know.
A free agent? Who?
I know the answer to this.
Do you?
Donald Brashear.
Oh, come on. You're both out of your fucking minds.
Are you serious?
No, he's not serious.
Thank God. I really got scared for a second there.
No.
Holy kidding.
No.
Who?
Brian Bickle.
See, I don't see him looking for a change of scenery. I mean, he has had an absolutely explosive year, and especially with, like, and I think if Chicago wins the cup, I don't see him looking for a change of scenery.
Change of scenery ain't got nothing to do with it once the money starts knocking at the door. Lots of guys that aren't looking for a change of scenery change their scenery when they see the contract.
When they see the fish nagels.
Right.
And I mean, at the same time, it's not like the Rangers are in like a cup where, I mean, they have a roster that can, well, they have, they're almost there at a roster that can win the cup. They just need more depth. And I think Brian Bickle would provide so much needed depth to this team.
Yeah, like Steve Nola said, we could have a Bickle Boyle Bickle line. Stink
sure.
Pickle and Hodor line.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, Brett, anything else?
No, that's about it.
Right.
Brett, once again, you came prepared. You came, you had your questions ready for us, and we're just under the wire here. And thanks so much for calling us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Take care, Brett.
Take care, boys.
Talk to you.
Thank God we have the chat room and listeners, because really, I didn't know Fedotenko went to the KHL.
No, I didn't either. But, you know, we got no budget, we got no research department, we got no stats desk.
Well, it's just not really, you know, it's the underground. We all support each other. We all,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. It's
and I got to get this, what's her name I got to get? Katie Tappan Z Bridge?
Catherine Tappan. Looking forward to it.
All right. I got to try to get her, because, you guys, I don't want you to.
I've got to.
I mean... You guys went
I'll
crazy.
Wear something backless. Next week, my friend, I think we're gonna pick a night and let's do a Game of Thrones season 3 recap show. Maybe late in the week. What do you think? We got a lot of Game of Thrones fans that listen to this show.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, I'm always up for some kind of, you know, festivities. I'm not shy for the mic, as they say. So I'm up for that. I've been working
well,
on... we could do some prospect talk later on. And I contacted Leslie Treff. She hasn't gotten back to me yet. From Hockey's Future, we'll talk about what's going on. Maybe we get Jess Rubenstein in here.
Russ Cohen.
Dean Stein, Russ Cohen. Russ Cohen, what's he know? We'll get Russ Cohen in here, and we'll talk about what's going on. And the saga continues with the coaches and the coach, and who's going to be the coach.
Exactly.
So we'll have a lot to talk about.
We got Walter Frey as the GM.
Let me tell you, Walt DeFray.
No spoilers.
He's a pimp.
He's a motherfucking pimp.
He's a motherfucking pimp.
Straight All right, up. We'll see you guys next week. Eddie, always a pleasure.
Take care. Thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight in the chat room. You helped us out. You were there. We succeeded where others have failed, and we trailblaze on as the ultimate choice for New York Ranger fan talk. The one true voice of the New York Ranger fan, Blue Shirt Underground Radio, motherfuckers.
Exactly. All right. Talk to you soon, Eddie.
Good.